Hi, my name is Tracy Coral, and welcome to Indispensable People. I'm a wife, mom, teacher, pastor, and missionary, and I believe that every person should have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in Him, and serve Him with the gifts that He has given, no matter their ability. Over 65 million Americans have a disability. That's 25% of the population. However, over 80% of them are not inside the walls of our church. Let's dive into those hard topics, biblical foundations, perceptions, and world-changing ideas. Thanks for joining us today, and we're talking about inclusion. That may seem like a buzzword, but let me tell you, it goes a long, long way back, and we can look at scripture which supports it in Luke chapter 14, where in this parable, a master who prepared a feast for many guests tells his servant to go out quickly and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, so that my house may be full. What is great is what Jesus said right before that invitation was given. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid." And then it goes on to, "But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." This scripture confirms that Jesus was saying that God's kingdom is for everyone, no matter who they are, what their abilities are being, what they bring to the table. Actually, he's saying he wants those who can't bring anything to the table. He doesn't want to be repaid. So right there, it shows you that the inclusion buzzword of today started way, way long ago. So what does the word inclusion actually mean? Well, the dictionary tells us that it is the action or state of including or of being included within a group or a structure. It's the practice or policy of providing equal access to opportunities and resources for people who might otherwise be excluded or marginalized. An author named Amos Young wrote Theology and Down Syndrome, Reimagining Disability in Late Modernity. And he said, ready? "The challenge of learning to know, to be with, and care for people with disabilities is nothing less than learning to know and be with God." So what is an inclusive ministry? It's one that brings together a community of people, which enables, empowers, and engages people within the worship community. This stems from a belief that God created all of us in His image, and the image of God is best reflected in community. So here's the earth-shaking information I'm going to share with you today. An inclusive ministry is not a program. It's not a class. It's not a separate room. It's not a sensory space. It is ministry by and with people with disabilities. That is so that we can be the full body of Christ, which is what God had intended all along. And so every person wants to be wanted and valued and welcomed and be given dignity and being a part of the community where we are fully welcomed, not by an open door to come through, but an open door to grow in Christ, to know Christ, and to serve Him within the same construction and patterns and possibilities that exist for everyone else in the church. Here's another earth-shaking bit of information. Inclusion is so incredibly important. Again, it doesn't go back to the program that we provide. It goes with the perspective and the attitudes in which we accept people into our community of the church. So how do we do that in the confines or challenges that people with disabilities come up against. For instance, in their ability to learn and to process, to interact, the physical barriers that they may come across. How do we do that? Include in the community of the church, provide the same options to grow and to serve. Here's the thing. Sometimes we have to step outside of that typical worldly inclusion that we talk about, which, by the way, the inclusion is saying a lot of the times in the classroom and other places in the world, we're going to take someone who doesn't fit or feel comfortable in this place and we're going to put them in a room and say that we're including them. That's not inclusion either. So I'm pretty sure I might have just confused everyone. And here's why. Inclusion is not so much a structure, a program, or a disability-friendly space. It's more of a perception and a way of life. It's not just, we can have the accessible room, we can have the sensory room, we can have all of the proper spaces and products that we could purchase from the store to equip our volunteers to serve. But if we don't see people the way that God sees people, the way that God expects his people, the way that God treats his people, with the possibilities that he approaches them with the potential that he believes that they have, we can't accomplish anything through those spaces, products, and tools that we think can be used to reach people with disability. So let me give you an example, and this is a worldly example, but there's a show called The Good Doctor. On The Good Doctor, one of the surgeons, his name is Sean, is autistic. And Sean is incredibly smart. He can visualize these surgeries. He can see things that other people can't see. And he's quite incredible. He does come up against some social issues and proper, you know, patient interactions and things like that. But for the most part, he does an unbelievable job. On occasion, his ability to handle his emotions have impacted in a surgery. But again, for the most part, he is just absolutely incredible and his ability is unmatched. So let me set the scene for you. An individual, it was an adult male, was coming in to the hospital through the emergency room on a gurney, and he is just freaking out. Okay. And no one is understanding what is going on. They don't know how to calm him. They're getting flustered and upset. And Sean walks over and he says, "Stop, everybody, stop." And he said, "This man is autistic and you are scaring him." And so he was able to identify that. And through the rest of the show, Sean was able to also identify what the problem was. He presented a surgery to the parents, and the parents agreed to the surgery, but their response was, "But Sean will agree to the surgery, but Sean cannot perform the surgery." And with that, I go, wow, okay. So their perception and their understanding of their son is now impacting the perception and their understanding of Sean's ability to do his job. And it's so hard. You know, parents walk around with, you know, believing the best and wanting the best for their child and just really claiming and understanding that maybe they can do more even sometimes than other people will believe that they can do. And so we come across this and go, wow, how do we then carry a better perception and believe the capability and purpose that God could have in someone's life, despite what our perceptions and our misunderstandings and maybe even lack of faith that keeps us from believing that God has a call and a purpose on people with disabilities and they belong inside our churches and they belong as a part of the body of Christ, Those are some barriers we have got to break down. And when we break down those barriers, that is when true inclusion happens. So what does that look like? How does that actually happen? So in a book called Same Lake, Different Boat by Stephanie Huback, she has a graph, and it is the ABC graph, and it has some arrows in between it. And A is the person desiring to enter the community. B is the current church community. And C is the improved inclusive church community. So what has to happen between A, who is the person who wants to come in, and B, the current church, is that the A's have to ask for accommodations so that they can be included in the church. So B has to make the choice to respond in a way that that welcomes and listens and adapts, or they can ignore, reject, and protect themselves in the way that they currently are. So the way that this moves forward is that we see the people who are coming into our church. We then respond, adapt, and accommodate based on their needs. We don't hold it against them. We don't call them a burden. We look at them as made in the image of Christ, born with a purpose, a call, and giftings based on the God we know and the God that we serve. And with that, we build respect between one another. We validate God and his authority in their life. And we provide opportunities within our church body for them to grow and to flourish into what God has called them into. Most churches, based on the request for training and equipping them to do special needs ministry, they really want a nice pamphlet, maybe a binder or a box with a pretty bow on it that says, this is how you do this. This is the way it works. But here's the difference. The difference is that we serve people, right? And with people, you engage a couple of different things. You engage the environment that they grew up in. You engage the personality that they've been given. And you engage the disability. And with that, nothing fits in a pretty binder or a box or a binder because people just don't fit into boxes. So what is the best way to move forward? The same way you would with anyone else that enters your church. Build relationship. It's exactly what Jesus did. He showed us how, he showed us what, and he showed us why. And he accomplished great things through the relationships that he invested in and he built in. Let me just tell you, the crew of disciples that he surrounded himself with were a hot mess. Okay, they weren't perfect. They didn't have it all together. They made a lot of mistakes, and Jesus walked through it with them. He knew that there was a plan and a purpose for their lives, regardless of where they were when he met them. That is the same way that we can approach people with disabilities, believing and knowing that there is a purpose for their life, not looking at them for what the world looks at them, but the way that God looks at them. That changes everything. Do I know everything about disability ministry? Do I have all the answers? Have I done everything perfectly? I have absolutely not. But we are going to continue this conversation so that people of all abilities can have the opportunity to know Christ, grow in him, and serve him with the gifts that he has given them. Catch us on our next episode when we talk about disability specific.